Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, fam, and welcome to Walk in Circles podcast, where Circle C Farm owner Nicole Cruz and me, Carl Fiadini, founder of Walk and Talk Podcast, get into what propels the business of agriculture and food. And you know what? I was on the phone already with Nicole. She's a little feisty tonight. Nicole, what's up? Let's jump into this. What's going on?
Well, you know, there's a lot of chaos out there when it comes to these chickens and their eggs. And it seems like it's only getting more interesting.
Why? What's going on?
I don't know.
What's happening?
Well, I mean, I'm going through my feeds, you know, with all the different social media that I'm in, which is probably similar to what you're going through. And I'm getting a lot of stuff popping up about not only just the cost of eggs in their area, but the fact that the feed is being questioned, what's going on, bigger picture. You know, then you start looking at these hen houses with hundreds of thousands of birds supposedly catching fire, or they're catching fire, and you know,
did you hear about the feed and that they're not producing eggs? Did you hear about this?
Yeah,
that too. It was on TikTok, and it was like the rogue chicken that was escaping, you know, the hen house or whatever, and getting out, and I guess eating regular, you know, natural stuff outside, and that particular one was laying the eggs when none of the others were. Does that even sound realistic?
Yes. Well, it just depends on where your thoughts are relative to conspiracy theories.
I don't know.
I have no data, but I can tell you that there is a gentleman out there who has also posted, I believe it was on TikTok, that when this started being questioned months ago, he went into one of the feed stores. It's a national chain, and he bought most, if not all, of every single brand, and he's actually paying out of pocket to personally have those feeds analyzed, because this has become months and months and months, and people who've had chickens are like, wait a minute, molting doesn't take that long. There's no reason. And then when you have people like this lady who she had that one sneak out, and it's out eating pasture grass and what it's, you know, kind of sort of what it's supposed to, and not the filler-induced feeds than it's laying? Yeah, there's some question there. There's some real question there.
Just so you know, nobody can see, right? But I have my – I made a tinfoil boat, and I opened it. Now okay. I'm wearing it on my head, all right? So okay. I have my tinfoil hat on right now. Just – no? Not good?
All right, we're visualizing. Okay.
Too soon? Is it too soon? I don't know. What's the cause? And you know, because I'm getting pissed as well. Like, I'm not happy about where any of this is headed. And I know you are feeling the same way. Where does this come from? How do we fix it? What are we doing?
Well, you know, the thing is that it's way bigger than you and I as a consumer of what's going on. Things are starting to finally leak out around a whole bunch of things related to food, not just the sourcing of the food. There's a lot of questioning about the acquisition of farmland so that it cannot be used for agriculture purposes, that it can be repurposed into something else or simply held. The second largest holder of agriculture land in this country is a Chinese company.
That's scary.
You know, there's
that is absolutely terrifying.
It is. And Bill Gates has a significant portion, if not the largest landowner of agriculture. So it's, you know, that's one whole side of it. Then you have product that's coming in from other countries into the US and it's being stamped organic, but it's not even being evaluated. It's not even being analyzed and it's not even being questioned relative to the truth in product identification.
You know,
there's several stores that are getting nabbed.
Yeah, I saw. So yeah, and I saw the there was an actual news story, Channel 7 or Channel 10, whatever it was, and they got into that store, and it seemed like a legitimate news piece. So,
right.
But you know, when you're talking about organics, so I mean, I've been on the produce distribution side for 20 plus years, and I've had some experiences with coffee and coffee farms, you know, throughout the coffee growing world. And a quick story about that is, and this came from a farm owner, you know, from South America. And basically, okay. It went like this. One farmer said, because you have mountains and there's, you know, one side of the mountain is one farmer and the other side is the other farmer. And basically, Farmer A says, hey, we're organic. Farmer B says, wait a minute. He goes and talks to Farmer A and he says, what are you doing that's organic? How are you organic? And of course, this is said in another language, right? This is from Spanish, not in English. I'm just giving you my version here. And basically right. The farmer says, well, I spray at nighttime. That's when I spray at night. there's your organic. That's like a real story. Like I firsthand heard it myself, not,
yep.
You know. So there's yep. that, but I've always been suspect, here in the States, there's all these alphabet agencies that are so willing to fine the hell out of you. If you don't, you know, follow the procedures and protocols and, you know, the HACCPs and, you know, all the different things. So, I was always like on the side of, well, if it's from here, it must be legitimate, because if not, people would be fined out of business. But now those same U.S. stores are purchasing yes. product from China specifically, and there is no oversight. They're not checking that product. Am I wrong in saying that? That's what the article, that's what the piece was on, right?
Yes. And there's been multiple, I've seen it in multiple places. In the past couple of weeks, I've seen several things come up that it makes me go, okay, here we go. Because it's, yeah, that's what's happening. It's starting to come out that there's product being brought in that isn't being checked. It's just being imported and it's going for distribution in a variety of different stores. And
I brought this up in front of a group of food distributors. Okay.
And this what'd they say?
Well, so this was the actual story that we're talking about that had the news piece on it. There was just general disbelief and even crooked faces with raised eyebrows. You know, in other words, like I was, you know, I didn't know what I was talking about. And I said, well,
yeah,
all right, I'll send it to you. And meanwhile, I had a conversation after they saw the thing. And there was shock and awe, but I was vindicated and I felt great about that.
Yep.
I feel terrible about the whole situation, but I was, you know, personally, I was, you know, I felt good. I was like, yeah, you know what? That's right.
Well, it makes it incredibly hard for real farms like myself, as opposed to these, what I'm calling fad farms, because that's the way we do it. We don't use any chemicals. And I will not waste my time, energy, or money so that I just have to pass along extra expenses to have somebody come out here and spend thousands of dollars to have somebody take a soil sample and go, oh, yep, nope, no chemicals. Okay, you know, $15,000 later, you know, that kind of thing. So, you know, it's sad and frustrating because there's a lot of us that are having to jump hoops or choose not to, because it's, to me, it's somewhat of a scam. To me, it's a bastardization in the marketing component to use and abuse organic, whether it's certified USDA organic or not. It becomes very questioning. It becomes very confusing. It's very difficult for the customer base right now. I have some customers that will only eat it if there's an organic stamp on it for certain things that we offer. There's other customers that are like me. They're more educated. Not that the other ones are not. It's just, it's a belief system. And because I've seen so much and I've read so much on this, and I've actually stood next to farmers in my geographic region that do produce, and they've said, Nicole, I have organic in this field and I have non-organic in that, and it's the same chemical.
Do you know what I mean? Well, like, as it's going to turn out, you know, the joke will be on us. It'll be on us, because what we're going to learn is when it's organic certified, what it's really going to mean is it's organic mass sterilization for the people. That's what it's going to be. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
you heard it here first, folks.
Well, I mean, everybody's dealing with lots of disease issues, and everybody's also then saying why. Well, it just came out in my, because I have multiple feeds. So I jump in and out of a variety of feeds from different sources because I'm really conscientious about making sure that I'm getting a full spectrum analysis of information. I evaluate it, but I'm also wanting to make sure that I'm getting it from multiple sources as far as positions, preferences, political or otherwise. So, you know, I had another one pop up in my feed earlier this week that was talking about, transitions to organics and how certain government agencies, you can apply for assistance for help, you know, a couple hundred dollars here and a couple hundred dollars there. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. At the same time, you all are trying to come out and go after the fraud in USDA organic, which is kind of ironic because of what's happening with the big box stores and stuff that's being imported with labels. You know what I mean? It's just, it's this whole kind of,
well, you know, what's bizarre too. There's another component to this, and I'm not going to name the name of what this is. But so there's a big box store, and then there's a very popular beverage. This particular beverage, you know, is I think for the longest time has been like maybe $11.99 for 2 pounds of this stuff, right? And, you know, with all the cost of goods and cost increases, raw product and everything, long story short, price goes up a gang load, and they're not giving this company the, they're not allowing them to increase the price on the shelf. And they're forcing the company to, you know, they're sweating it out real bad.
The retail side or the wholesale side?
On the retail side. You know, so the box store says, yeah, your costs are going up, but you can't increase your price point. You got to keep it as is. So his costs are going up. There's volume, you know, there's business, people are buying, consumers, but there's, the margins are shrinking a lot. And
yes.
So you see what's happening there. You know, and that's an independent operation, you know, very, very successful and a terrific product. Successful, but long story short, they're getting crunched out and now they're in very bad trouble.
Yeah. But that's the other thing that I was going to say is that the cost of eggs have gone up, but the payment to the farmer, where all the costs have gone up to, is not being increased in compensation.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's a really unfair, like the dynamic is just really messed up.
It's contrived. And that's why the whole thing is put together. I mean, like, listen, and this isn't tinfoil. I don't really give a shit, but excuse my language. Yeah. I'm sorry. Like this is put together. This is built.
It's fabricated.
Yes.
And this is designed, created, and fabricated for this chaos.
For these specific results. And right. I don't know that there's any way to, and this isn't me living in, you know, my parents' basement, and I don't know what I'm talking about. Like I'm part of the distribution chain, the food supply chain, and I see these things because I'm talking to people who are before me and after me in that chain.
And in the supply chain, I got you.
In the supply chain, and we're all experiencing these things, and none of it is natural. Nothing, 0% of it.
Well, and that's the difficult thing because
in fact it's 0.0%. Like there is zero nothing. There's an goose egg, if you will allow me to say that.
Oh. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No. I mean, and we're all watching it. Like I think the biggest frustration is that a lot of us don't know what to do about it because it's nothing that we can control. We're stuck in it. And we're all just trying to figure out how are we going to survive it until it stops, but we have no idea when it's going to stop. And that's the difficult part, because as expenses go up and as income either remains the same or decreases for whatever reason, then it just becomes that constant squeeze. And we talked about that on the last episode too. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that has changed since then. And I think it's almost become a little bit more confusing and ambiguous in many ways, because as each week goes by or each couple of weeks goes by, there's more information that's coming out, which is just feeding the frustration, because I think a lot of us we know what's wrong, but we're not able to fix it. We're not able to stop it, and it's being done to us collectively. And that, I think, is becoming, especially in the food space, I think that's becoming very, very overwhelming. I don't think that part has changed. The other thing that is I'm seeing, too, from an advertising and marketing standpoint, and I've had some new clientele or customers to us ask a variety of different kinds of questions. One is like, they're reading through the website, but they're asking, like, how long have you been around? Are you a new farm? Or those kinds of things, because they're new to us, but they don't realize that we've been in this food space for 7 years. Whereas there's a lot of social media farms that are sponsored or paid for advertising that are going in, and they're starting to pop up and see them. And that's really confusing the consumer, because snazzy little table in somebody's very plain dining room with a box of meat that just came from some farm that they got it from, but it's not really a farm, it's a distribution site. Mm-hmm. And they work with supposed farms, but they're really just a distributor making it look like a farm. It's creating an additional level of chaos, I think, in people's heads or confusion, because they're having to figure out what's real and what's not.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, everybody's looking for a lot of the companies are looking for that, farm to fork, space. You know, they want to have that for their marketing purposes, which, you know, if it were legitimate is fantastic, you know,
but it's not.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, listen, there's I'm not going to name who they are, you know, it would be just inappropriate, right. But there was, and this was older news anyway, whatever, but there was a restaurant a group up here in Tampa, several years ago that, they were putting that on their menus, and that was part of their marketing mantra, mm-hmm. which was, you know, farm to fork. And as it turns out, none of it was true.
Yep.
None of it.
I remember that article.
Yeah. So
are you talking about the big article that went down where a bunch of restaurants got called out?
Yeah.
For misrepresentation on the menu? Oh, yeah.
It was like 2015, something like that.
Yeah.
Because it was like it happened about eight months to a year before I moved here, which was around that time. So, you know, yeah, I mean, it happens out there. And unfortunately, there are groups, companies, organizations. And they don't have to be giant ones either. They don't have to be some, you know, nameless, faceless food conglomerate. It could be, you know, your local guy around the corner who makes turkey sandwiches. You know, if they're going to do something that's underhanded, they're going to do it. I mean, I feel like that's happening more in that nebulous space of nameless, faceless food conglomerate, because they can literally just get away with whatever they want. And who's going to how do you stop? How do you stop it? You know?
Yeah. And I think that's really confusing for people. I would agree.
Yeah. Who wants retribution? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think if people are tired.
They are tired. Yeah. And then, but again, tired. Usually when somebody gets tired of when groups of people are fed up, there's an action and a potential, you know, there's a cause and effect, let's say. And I don't see any of that. I think
people are
swallowing
trying.
It. Swallow it. Keep eating it. Drink it. You know, it's just, I don't know. There comes a time when it has to come back out.
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Well, and I think that people, as we continue to see more and more truths come out relative to these variety of different things, and also it's related to the pharmaceutical industry, relative to the food, the ultra-processed foods, the different sodas, the candies, all of these things that have toxic colors, toxic chems, all those things, a lot of that's coming out too, because that was one of the things that I also saw this week.
I feel like it's everything.
There's a direct correlation.
But I feel like it's not even just like candy and soda. You know, I mean, now we're learning about this thing with China and the organics. And who the hell knows what they're spraying on there? Oh, my God. You know.
Right. Organic is relative.
Forget the organic part. Forget the organic part. Like, you know, I just went into like, you know, novel thriller mode, right?
Okay.
You know, China, regardless of what is an enemy, they're an enemy of the United States, no matter how you want to look at it. And while it may not be a hot sort of environment, it's not a healthy one. And the reality is, who knows what's being put in there?
Yeah, I know.
It's an ugly road. It's an ugly path. You know, like you look up in the sky and there's like a, you know, tic-tac-toe board right up there. You look up, look, I can play tic-tac-toe. Come on. What is all this crap? Everything is just really gross. In this particular moment in time.
Well, but the upside to that is the fact that it's all coming out. So, or a lot of it is coming out. And I think that over the next however long, weeks, months, years, it's going to continue to filter and people are going to continue to be able to make it more informed choices. They're going to be able to start realizing that they've got to look at the back of the box. They've got to see where the import is or where the distributor is or who the distributor is and where the point of origin is for the product. You know, there's things like that that I think people are becoming more aware of. And we're in the food space. We have a responsibility to keep sharing. I'm not passing judgment. I give my personal opinion, but how people choose to make their decision themselves is totally up to them. And you know, you're working with chefs and different other distributors. How are they dealing with it? Like the couple of chefs that you've talked through over the last couple of weeks. I mean, like, how are they making adjustments in their kitchen? Like, you know what I mean? Like, how are they?
You know, it's
are they engaging with these topics?
Well, yeah. So, you know, the reality is they have to deal with it in the same capacity as everyone else who has a service or produces a product or whatever. And that is either you charge more. There's three main choices. You either charge more, you offer less.
Okay.
Or you close your doors and go out of business. Those are your three choices. You know, there might be some variances that you can, you know, here and there, but those are your three mains right there. That's what you have. You know, charge more, offer less, or close your doors because it's not sustainable.
Okay.
And, you know, there's going to, if it keeps going up, right, what happens? You have people who are like, okay, I thought by now, I mean, I was a little frivolous with my spending and I thought that by now it would get in line. But as it turns out, the company I'm working for, because of their cost of doing business, they're laying everybody off and, you know, or yep. getting decrease in pay or whatever. And now I can't go out to eat, or now I can't buy that. I can't order something, whatever it is. Like at the end of it, there's going to come a time where you pass a threshold and you hit critical yep. mass. And then all of a sudden, I can't. What do you mean we don't have food? What do you mean the shelves yeah. are empty? And that's what's going to happen. And that will happen, in my opinion, overnight. One day you're going to wake up and there simply won't be that food article item. That there won't be the shoes.
It'll just disappear from the shelf.
It just won't yeah. be there.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I mean, and honestly, believe it or not, I am super Mr. Optimism, believe it. Like,
Me too. I'm a pretty positive person. Yeah,
I am super positive. And, you know, you in this particular topic and this conversation, it angers me. And because that is the pathway. But on the other side of it, there's still a lot of stuff still has to happen before that. The alarming thing is, like, those dots seem to always, you know, like they're it's happening. Like the boxes are getting checked. They're
not being connected.
They are being connected. That's the problem. Like the dots, the boxes are being checked. Slowly. Yeah, it's bad. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't know how long it's going to take. But like I said, the upside to this is that if people at whatever speed, if the smoke and mirrors game is slowly going away, people are now going to be able to make much better informed choices. I just want them to know to look at the back of the box, understand what organic is, understand what non-organic is, know where you're getting your food, and understand what local is, understand that, you know, good food is not cheap, and cheap food is not necessarily good. So, you know, that's another component to it too. People have to understand that this is not snap, snap your fingers and make a text appear. You can't make lettuce appear in 24 hours. You know, like, you know, if you want real food, we have to start thinking about our space differently. And we have to start looking at encouraging people to put gardens in their backyard. Or
and who's in charge? Who's actually in
pots
charge?
Pots on their lanais. Yeah, well, you know, this is the thing. Ultimately, it goes back, Carl, and you vote with your dollars. In the sense of, we're even though money is super tight for many, many people, and tighter for some, you know what I mean? Like, wherever you are in your financial space, you still got to be able to have opportunity and choices for good, healthy food. And I think that people are really realizing that all that cheap stuff in the freezers and in the grocery stores, in the clubs, the food clubs, that a lot of that stuff has been there for a while, that these products have been packaged and processed so that they can sit on the shelf short of indefinitely.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think people are really starting to draw, as you were mentioning, draw those connections between my health, mental and physical, my physical well-being, the foods that I'm eating, how it's affecting my body, what diseases I'm getting, what pills are being pushed upon me, like all of those things. I think people are at a point where Google is your friend, or, you know, the internet is your friend. You just got to make sure that you evaluate and analyze what you're reading, so you know the source is an accurate location to get information. But I really think that right now, And this is, I mean, depending on where you are in your different spaces, like I cross a lot of professions and industries and things like that. And I read as diversely as I possibly can on as regular basis, daily, every other day. So like if you're in the AI world, whether it's AI or ChatGPT mm-hmm. or the cryptos or any of these things in these different spaces, there's an interconnection with all of this stuff. And, you know, the evolution of everything is going to continue. It's just how are you making sure that you are finding the information at the source? And
you know what's funny?
That's what we have to look at in agriculture.
So
source your food from the source.
Yes. I don't disagree. I agree with everything you just said there. If you look back historically and you look back at like during each big change period, you know, throughout history, getting into the Middle Ages, coming out of the Middle Ages, you know, one continent being overcome by a particular, you know, army or group or whatever. People, there were people who made it through that, you know, that they were okay. Like they just managed through it. And it had to do with, you know, obviously wealth and resources. But back then, like, okay, you know, I got X amount of silver coins or gold coins, or, you know, we have, you know, however many head of, you know, goats and whatever. You had things, right? So today we have our fiat currency that, you know, tomorrow could be worth, you know, nothing.
Nothing.
And you're absolutely broke. Yeah. And if everybody remembers back in like 06, 07, everybody put all their gold into envelopes and mailed it away, right? Whatever gold that they had, you know, they put it in envelopes, took payment on it and mailed it away to who the hell knows where, right? So what do people actually have to, they have nothing. So if you don't, how do you expect to navigate through the next potential change, big change in our history, when, you know, new governments are formed, or, you know, there's some catastrophic thing, or, you know, like the actual Spanish flu back in 2018 or 1918, or what am I saying? Yeah, 1818. What the hell am I saying? Was it 1918, excuse me.
I got to leave that to you. That's not my, I'm not good with those dates.
Yeah, I believe it was 1918, 1919. Because it was about 100 years prior to COVID. But that's where people were like dying in the streets, though. You know what I mean? It was, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. How do you make it through all that? Because we don't have those, you know, we don't have the resources, personal resources. You might, other farmers may. There's a group of people that do. But then, you know, if you're Johnny so-and-so from the suburbs, or you're, you know, whoever from the inner city or the city or wherever, guess what? You don't have supplies. You don't have 2 days worth of food. No, you got nothing. What do you do?
It's totally, totally different structure.
Right. So you're beholden to the people that own the land and the food and the water.
Yep.
And electricity. What do you do?
Oh, I can live without electricity.
Me too. I can too. In fact,
I have food.
Yeah. I mean,
I have food.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean, if everybody were to dig deep and realize that, yeah, you can get by without the AC. It sucks. It's really uncomfortable, but you get used to it and you're okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, here in Florida, we get used to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's hot. Yeah. You just.
Do I give my personal sovereignty up for air conditioning? Maybe I do that. I don't know. It's a rough one, but you can do it. You can make it, you know, you can do it.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is that right along with what you're saying, I think that's a component to people's reality right now too, is that we've been conditioned by a system that says, if you need it, just go get it. You don't have to plan or prepare. Just go get it. It's at the grocery store, the box store that's down the street. It's a quick convenience store.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, you need to plan ahead.
Yeah.
And and we've referenced this before in a couple of, you know, in the last couple of episodes, in the sense of that's where the disconnect in lies with regards to people and the food system and what it takes to plan, prepare, to have that piece of meat or produce on your plate.
You know, we're only a few generations past canning. We need to conserve.
In the 50s, right?
Yeah. I mean, my grandparents.
It was a big canning thing.
Yeah. You would prepare for that stuff.
Yeah. You had a root cellar. My grandparents had a root cellar.
Yeah.
It was the coolest, funkiest place in the world to go down into. Because my grandmother canned everything.
Exactly.
And it was really cool because on the top of it, it had little marker dates and what it was. And, you know, I was like, oh, what's that? And so she taught me how to can tomato sauce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really enjoyed that. Now, thank goodness I could do a YouTube review on it. But, you know, and that's a good way to use technology. But, you know, it's the survival component. People are now being backed into survival mode. And that's the part that then causes people to become frantic and desperate. And desperate is not a way to make decisions.
Oh, my goodness. That is...
It's not.
That is absolutely correct.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
And that's the part that I'm hoping that as a collective community, whether it's hyper-local, local, not so local, regional, you know, however, wherever, you know, because people are going to be listening to us all over everywhere.
Right.
You know, just like, you know, and that kind of thing. So, you know, no matter where you are in your space, my hope is that this doesn't last any longer than absolutely has to, but that we within our communities can continue to keep the fiber in place so that we can continue to help people balance perspective when they do get to that threshold of true devastation, survival, panic mode. And that we'll be able to continue to support one another in that sense, because that's really what it's going to come down to. Because no matter where you're sourcing your food in the big picture, when it gets really lean and the food shortages start like the toilet paper things that was kind of enhanced and I think a little fabricated. I'm not sure why, but it was certainly pushed out of proportion. People are going to have to really start thinking more locally.
All it takes
for their foods.
All it takes is just a few people to go in, clean out an aisle of of goods, whatever it is,
anything,
toilet paper or, you know, canned raviolis or something like that. All it takes is that. And the minute that someone else sees it, okay, great.
And post it to a social media. Yeah.
And now it's mass pandemonium and we're, it's like 1984 and Cabbage Patch Kids. You know what I'm saying? It turns it turns into a violent
situation. I remember that too.
I know.
I do. I remember it. You know, so that's the part that I'm hoping that, so I'm constantly reassuring our community, both physically and our Circle C Farm family community, that it might be a little slow getting it processed because the team is smaller, but the food's not going to stop.
How do you think, but you know, I'm hearing you and I agree with, like, say it again, say that.
But in a big, massive picture, it's a little difficult to believe.
Well, you know, so, you look at these farms that are like the farms that were like just engulfed in flames over the last few months.
Yeah.
How many and it's not just chicken.
It's disgusting.
It was produce. It was dairy, cattle, you know, chickens and stuff. It's across the board. It's unnatural.
But it's also, hold on, let's take it to a whole nother level. You want to go here? We'll go here.
We're going here.
I'm going to tell you where we're going.
My lips are on the microphone.
I know. I got my new mic. It's working really well.
I know. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you for the suggestion.
That's what I do.
The recall list. So because we're a USDA inspected facility, I get certain notifications. And yeah. into my notification today was a recall from a particular company for over 2.5 million pounds of pork and or chicken product that had been improperly
yeah
not specialty nope, this is just stuff you'd see on the shelf if you walked into any grocery store. Happens to be a particular branded meat product,
a big one though, like that a is large organization,
but a major yep, if I said it you'd know. But 2.5 million pounds of a chicken and pork combined product that is ready to eat out of a can is being recalled due to potential contamination risk, due to packaging errors, and you would not notice the fact that it was contaminated by looking at the package. 2.5 million pounds.
Was that in a particular...
You start extrapolating that to the number of animals that died because some technology or human screwed some stuff up, and look at all the wasted life that happened.
Or just a simple fabrication.
Well, it could be. It could be an insurance claim.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, but the fact of the matter is
it's a cog in the, a spoke in the wheel. You know what I mean? It's just,
yeah. We're having difficulty feeding people on one level. And at the same time, we collectively are irresponsible. And I don't mean me, because it doesn't happen in my space, but the collective we in the food system are irresponsible in the way certain things get handled. And now you have animals that have forfeited their life, no matter how they got there. And the packaging not being taken care of correctly. All that product is being thrown away. And on top of that, that food that should have been edible is no longer going to be available to be fed or for people to consume. That honestly, it's weekly. There's recalls every single week from some company or some packaging or some exposure or some something. Now, you got to recall it because goodness sakes, we do not want anybody to get sick. So I don't want to give that impression at all. I'm talking about the responsibility in the food space of that stuff shouldn't be happening to begin with. And if it's happening because it's an insurance claim, those people need to pay for that karma.
You know, in a smaller story, did I tell you that I got over the holidays? I got really sick.
No, I don't think so.
Short story. I'm not going to give you the. So over the Christmas holiday, over the weekend, one of those weekends, we went up to Georgia. And there was a resort on a mountain in Georgia. I'm not going to even get into where and who, whatever. But long story short, went in, noticed, and I should have known better, but I saw fruit flies, right? And
you do know better.
I do know better. But it was like 8-hour drive and, late, exhausted, on a mountain. We didn't want to leave the mountain to go try to find something to eat. So we stayed at the – and it's a resort. It's like a four, anyway,
reputable location.
Yeah, for sure. Thankfully it was just me, nobody else, family wise, got it. But within an hour and a half of eating this food, it could have been the glass, could have been a drink, could have been whatever. But I woke up at I don't know, like as soon as I went to sleep, an hour later, woke up bad, like literally, you're holding the garbage.
Really bad.
Yeah, you're holding a garbage can, and you're sitting down, and you're just like, wow, it's just terrible. Yep. I ended up passing out, and this is in a hotel room. I passed out, fell, smashed my head, smashed my knee. Like, I still, you're talking about like over Christmas, I still have a dent in my knee where there was a scab. It was pretty bad. And this is from guaranteed. From the freaking fruit flies. Guaranteed. And the reason
that bacterial transfer.
Correct. And the reason I'm bringing this up is for something as stupid as that, there's no shortage of fruit flies, believe me. But you hardly have any issue for however that works. But For something so small, microscopic in scope, you start to extrapolate that, like you're talking about, with something that's, you know, they're putting out 2 million pounds of this or 5 million pounds mm-hmm. of that. That is scary. It's scary. Yes. Because, I mean, because this is fresh in my mind. It just happened to me. And it was really bad. I mean, I literally thought I was having a heart attack, which I've never in my life. I'm from the business. I've eaten in some sketchy places. And I've never been sick. I've never had food poisoning in my life that I'm aware of. And this happened. And I'll tell you, like, I have to look at everything different.
Makes you think twice.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. You really got to think twice.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So, you know, just to kind of piggyback on a more of a micro level, you know, than what you're talking about, it's people need to be aware of what the hell is going on, is my point. To piggyback on your point.
I would agree.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if we don't tell stories, again, then why do we have a podcast, right? My gosh.
No, very true. Yeah. Very true. I'm just glad that the great food awakening is happening.
The great food awakening. Okay.
The great food awakening. Hashtag great food awakening.
Yeah. Totally a hashtag. I can dig that.
All right.
Can you dig it? It's just,
yeah, I can.
So what do we do?
Because I have the land to do it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to move in with you guys.
Oh, no. I'm going to put you out somewhere on the property.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I didn't mean like in the, you know, in the main house. I was going to be out there in the...
the main house, the old farmhouse. Yeah, you know. Do not make it sound like it's all lush and fabulous. I have boots with chicken poop on my back in the back porch.
That's correct.
This is not fancy.
No, it's not. But you know, at the end of the day, I mean, I don't need much. You know, really, campfire, maybe umbrella. I'm good, man. Like I'm easy. I'm easy peasy.
We'll give you a tent. We'll put you out with one of the guardian dogs, and you can take a corner.
That's it, man. I feel good, you know.
I know.
Actually, I'd feel safer with just a couple of donkeys. You know.
No, a mind, bite, and kick.
Even to people?
Yeah. Yeah, I love my donkeys, but I keep them on the other side of the barbed wire.
But that's not so typical against people. I mean, usually.
No, that's normal.
Really? I mean, yeah. I know they're vicious. Like they, you know, like to coyotes.
Oh, they can be.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no. But you, no. You do not play with my asses.
Nope. I would never. That's disrespectful. I would never do that.
I know both of them, both the male and the female. They will bite you. Oh, they won't even think about it.
No kidding. So, you know, growing up, I where I grew up for about 15 years as a, you know, 8, 10, 15, 20 year old, whatever. Then, it was. A rural, almost rural sort of community. And there was horses and, you know, cattle ranches and dairy farms and all that, like orange groves all throughout the area. So I would go out, I'd wake up in the morning, go to school, 9 years old, and there would be like three or four, you know, bulls, horned, you know, like big ass bulls grazing on the front yard, you know, and then my stepmom would be like, oh, I got to go call farmer so-and-so. Hey, come get your, you know, I grew up like that. So
they got out.
Yeah, they got out. Like they're in our yard, you know?
Okay. They weren't supposed to be there.
No, not supposed to be there at all. I'm like, oh, hey, the bulls are there again.
Yeah.
So anyway, I grew up like that and you know, there was no shortage of donkeys. I don't think I ever had a problem. I've been bitten by horses. I've had horrible things. I have horrible horse stories, but never donkeys. I never had a problem with a donkey. I like that.
Well, then you must have been around a lot calmer donkeys.
Apparently. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, or ones that are just, I mean, mine are socialized. When we've had them now for, I would say 8 or 9 years, actually. We picked them up as,
what's the lifespan?
I don't, you know, my guess is that they're going to be like horses. They can go 10, 20, 30 years. I mean, I would say they're coming 9 to 10 this year. We got them, they were about a year old. We got them as a pair. They do practice. However, thank goodness we've not had any reproduction because having a ton of donkeys is not a good thing, depending on how many animals you have. The two that we have do an awesome job, but they're also, when we got them, they had been handled more. we handled them initially. And as they got older, they've pretty much just been with the cattle 24/7 because they do a fantastic job with predator control with them. They complement the guineas and the peacocks and the dogs. But the biggest thing is that because we haven't handled them so much, they are kind of somewhat feral in some ways. So that's why I'm saying, like, they'll walk up behind you and they'll bite just because they can. They're like, oh,
how do they treat you guys?
They're pleasant, but I don't take my eyes off either one of them.
Really?
Like, yeah,
and
no.
They know you. I mean, obviously they got
they know it. Yep. Yep. And I'll pet them, but I am very guarded with them because they're very quick. I mean, if you think about what they're there for predator control or to kill a coyote, a bobcat, you know, anything that comes in, a raccoon, a skunk, a squirrel, or, you know, anything that might be predation, they go after them. So these two are a piece of work. They're hilarious.
I mean, what kind of ground can they cover? I mean, two of them.
Oh, they're fast. What do you mean?
I mean,
you mean like acreage?
Yeah. Like, I mean,
oh, so they travel with the cows.
Yeah. But the cows are sometimes they spread, don't they? Or are they always just in a group?
Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, they'll spread out. Like we've got like the one pasture. Let's see. The one pasture they're in now is probably 25 acres attached to probably another 10 to 15.
I mean, I'm picturing this like here. Let me just
part of the property when you were here.
Wait a minute. You have to understand. I'm looking at this like West Side Story. Okay. I'm like, you know,
you got a couple of
cows walking by themselves, right? They're just the two of them. And then all of a sudden there's a pack of coyotes and the one cow starts like running and he's like, jets, you know, and he's calling for the help. And, you know, long story short, the couple of donkeys come out of nowhere with, you know, switchblades and, you know, they save the day. I don't know. That's what ran through my head. Sorry. Just.
Okay. So let me get you a better accurate video tomorrow.
Yeah. No, I mean, so how much ground are they? In other words, if like, let's just, for example, hypothetically, call it 5 acres is spot. Like we're on a 5 acre window here. Okay. And on one end of the 5 acres, there's a lone little calf somehow it was by itself. Right. And on the opposite corner of this 5 acres are the two donkeys. And in the middle, heading towards the cattle are a pack of coyotes. What happens?
Okay.
Donkeys are like,
those donkeys are going after the coyotes.
From that distance. And, like they see it and they're like,
yep. Oh yeah, they'll go bat out of hell. They will go straight after those coyotes, and then you've also got to deal with the mama cows. Because the mama cows are going to jump into action and they're going to defend their calves.
Okay, so is it a situation where it's like the mama cows and the donkeys are working in tandem? I feel like we've just stumbled upon the most entertaining thing in the world, right? Because I mean, I feel like we should set some cameras up and just this needs to be seen.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
They will go after them, though. The donkeys would charge at the coyotes to run the coyotes out.
To save the calf.
So, I mean, they're not going to go
or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. They're not going to go jumping over barbed wire like a deer would to get out of the pasture to go after the coyotes, but they will run the coyotes out. And if the coyotes get hold of them, they will go after the coyotes to bite and kick.
But then the
how they're conditioned.
But somehow the donkeys are going to be like, ah, you're an a-hole calf, and it goes after the calf too, right? Like just to nip them in the butt.
No,
they get along.
No, because
like
because the mama cows have established their dominance and presence. So the donkeys are smaller than the cows, and the cows kick. Oh. So there's a really nice symbiotic relationship between them. There really is a healthy respect.
So the cows allow the donkeys to be part of the clique, and in return,
yes, they are.
And in return, the donkeys will protect the herd, so to speak.
Yes,
that's amazing.
Yes, but then you also can't. We leave our bull in with our cows, with our mama cows. So you also have the factor of dealing with the bull too. If you come into a field and you're not supposed to be there, that bull will run you out.
And that's human or otherwise?
I would say more predator wise. For those people who've never been around animals, and particularly cattle, there's kind of a running joke that says, if you've worked cattle, you know why you eat them. Because they're really stupid. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to get your cows that appear smart and people are like, oh, they're so smart. Well, yeah, they may be in the moment, but the truth of the matter is that they're not intended to be super brilliant.
Right.
They're intended to do exactly what they do, provide what they do, which means that we should respect, honor, and treat them humanely and healthy.
Yes.
But at the same time, we have to respect the fact that they're stupid. They will run your ass over in a heartbeat because they don't think. They're flight animals. They will just freak out and run. They flee everywhere.
But
these are not fighting animals.
But a bull is...
Your bull will come after you.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he's provoked or he's been treated that way. In our case, our bull's never been put in a position in which he's ever has to wonder how he's going to be treated, because he's always been treated with a healthy, genuine respect of the fact that he is a bull. You don't ever take your eyes off of a bull. You keep your eyes on a bull. You never make really aggressive direct eye contact. It's always gentle, respectful, because these are 2,000 and 3,000 pound animals that will level you without thinking about it if they feel threatened.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not going to have any problem with me. I don't need the,
I'll need that smoke,
but, you know?
Agreed. But see, Carl, also know that I don't ever walk into my pasture with my cattle. I always go in on an ATV, and I do that for my own protection. Because you're talking about a group of animals that are typically not stressed, typically relaxed, typically just hanging out. But at the same time, you get yourself amongst 30 or 40 or 50 mama cows with a bunch of calves. If they get spooked, they'll level you. They'll trample you without even thinking about it. There is no, oh my gosh, there's my human. There is, I need to go there and you're in my way. Like, that's what people don't understand about cows. Like, they're special. And again, when they're weighing 1,500, 2,000, 2,500 pounds,
mm-hmm.
you just don't argue with a several thousand pound cow.
Well, you know what's funny? Because like I told you, I grew up around, you know,
just not smart.
I grew up around agriculture for a period. And it's weird. And I probably would be freaked out about it now, but they're very inquisitive at times.
They are.
And when there's a group of them and they come to you, and it's not that they're running at you, or whatever, they're curious. They become you. Like they're there. Like all of a sudden there's,
yep.
What the hell is this? Why are they? Wow. You know, it's kind of bizarre. Yep. It's a bizarre feeling that I don't know. It's been a long time for me. So I don't know that I'd be comfortable. Like I don't know if I want that.
Well, I did a video a couple of weeks ago. Actually, I probably sent you the link. The one with me, with Manny and I out in the pasture with the group of mama cows and calves. And he and I were talking about what features we liked and didn't like in some of the calves, which ones we were going to save for our heifer program. So those would be future coming mama cows. And then there's a couple of male little bulls that we have in there that have not been castrated. And so we were talking about those and the qualities we liked or didn't like, and which ones were going to be eaters and which ones we might hold back and consider for additional breeding purposes, you know, at some point maybe. And so we were out in the pasture in the ATV, and I was standing probably about 2 or 3 feet in front of the ATV. and the cows were coming up to me. But as I was videotaping and as we were talking, I had kind of lost my balance because they were walking to me and I had to kind of back up a little bit to the ATV. And as I did that, I kind of stumbled a little bit, but I caught myself real quick. And at that very second, a couple of the cows were like, "Whoa, what just happened?" Like their little eyes got real big and they were like, and I was like, "Oh shoot, if I lose my balance and I fall and they spook, I may get stepped on." Not because they intended to hurt me,
right,
but because I just scared living daylights out of them. Like, "Oh my God, the human fell," you know? So, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Like being careful or aware of these animals.
But you know, it's funny because so the, if that like, happens, oh. Well, hold on. Think of it from their perspective, right? You know, like, so there's a group of them and you fall down. Right. And the one,
yeah.
And the cow, one cow says to the other, he's like, "See, I told you not to trust somebody with this animal with just two legs. You can't trust them." You know, it's going to
yeah,
be,
it's funny.
Yeah. It's going to be something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alice, I told
what
you,
do they say?
Alice, stay away from them. You know, something like that.
That's crazy. That one falls.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's interesting, but I'll tell you what, they're fun because one of the things that's kind of neat is if I go out into the pasture and I move real slow around the ATV, you know, when I'm doing it. Cause again, I don't want to spook them. I want them to come in. I want them to know that I'm not a threat in any way. And you got to remember, these are animals. So like, you know, short-term memory, they've never been treated aggressively or anything like that, but I'm also not out free ranging in the pasture with them all the time. So, and since I'm not a cow, they're like, "Whoa, again, you know, what is she doing out here sticking that camera in my face?" Or trying to take funny selfies while they're licking themselves or, you know, their little sandpaper tongues, you know, licking my hand. But I try to get down at their level, close to the ground, because they're super inquisitive. And I went out with a 5-gallon bucket one time and flipped it upside down and sat down. But I admittedly didn't get more than, I don't know, 5-6 feet from the ATV. Because if they start moving real quick, I jump back in the seat.
Right.
Because I'm like, "Oh, I don't want to get squished." But it was really cool because when you sit down there, and I don't move a lot and I don't talk a lot, believe it or not, you know, and I'm sitting
lies.
There and I'm,
lies.
I'm, yeah, I know. And I'm taking video. Well, you weren't there. Manny wasn't there. So nobody can, I can tell you that I wasn't talking. You know, but they're there and they want to check you out. Like they want to come in close. They want to smell you. But if you move, they jump back. So it's really kind of, it's kind of fun at the same time, especially with the calves.
Yeah.
If you can get a group of calves together, well, they're adorable.
Not the calves, but like a regular full grown, they have like what, the mind of a 5-year-old or something, like 4-year-old or something like that.
I don't know. I that's not anything I've read. So I'll take your word for that.
I think I read something like that somewhere. Or maybe it was.
That sounds about right. I mean, they're not super intelligent.
Right. Like if they had fingers, they'd be picking their nose and eating it. You know what I mean? It would be like that. Like just like.
Yeah, that'd be age appropriate.
Yeah. I'm just saying, look.
I know.
Yeah. I'm leaving you to the facts of all these things, and then you know, I'm kind of your muse here. You know what I'm saying? I'm here for the, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, when you come down next, I will put you on a bucket with the cows, and then we'll see how you do.
Sounds awesome. Yeah. I mean, that's. I'm thinking about it. I'm coming. I'm on the way. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. And the chickens are no better though. I was out with the hens yesterday afternoon. And if they will start walking around with you as a full group behind you, like we're going someplace important, because a couple of them figure out, "Oh wait, she might have an egg she's going to drop or that's cracked and feed it to us."
There might
so
be
they
food.
Just start following you around. It's like hundreds of them following you around to collect eggs.
So what you need to do here, this is, and if you've done this, great. If not, you need to get yourself buy a fiddle, right? And seriously, and do what you're saying. And when they're all following you, you have Manny with the camera, and that's when you get the video of you with the fiddle with, you know, 7,000 chickens
with them following me.
Yes, and then you do, you know, yeah. And that's a viral video right there. You just heard it from me. Okay.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
I know.
The great chicken following or something. We'll come up with something interesting.
There's a reason you hang out, with me. You know what I'm saying? Like it's.
I know. It's these creative ideas for what to do in the pasture with my animals.
It's basically this. Yeah. Oh my God. All right. So you know, I'm glad we're finishing on a positive note. You know, we started a little,
absolutely.
We started in a tense, place, you know, tomorrow, all the stuff, all the negatives will still be there, but at least tonight, you know, it'll be, you know, dreams of, cows picking their nose and fiddles and, you know, yeah, it'll be
chickens
fun.
Following fiddles. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one
thing I should. Yeah, well, then let me do it this way, since I'm probably not very good at the fiddle thing. Mm. I'll go out with different kinds of music, and I'll see whether they follow the country or classical or some of the hairband metal stuff from the 80s and see what kind of following I get that way.
They're going to be into Def Leppard, okay? That's
you think?
I'm guaranteed. But okay. That's not viral, okay? What's viral is you with the fiddle and them following.
In my chicken outfit. In my chicken outfit.
Yeah. I mean, I have my
chicken costume.
I'd want to go viral with having my dignity, but, you know, that's cool too. Like that works. Like I would totally,
at this point, just
so you're aware, I would like that video, and I would also share it and comment. Okay. I would give you the trifecta of algorithm. Oh, yeah. I would give you all of it. Okay. Just so you know.
All right. Well, let me see if I can find a fiddle. Mm-hmm. I'll go into one of those electronic for sale boards.
I'm pretty sure like you can get it next day, Amazon, or same day on Amazon.
Oh, no. You know what? Do you remember? Okay. When I was in elementary school, we had the little plastic
recorder.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's what I need to find.
That's
and then
that
I'll
works.
Go like through the
Yes.
That's what happens when you get up at 4 o'clock with the roosters.
That's what you can do. And the
it's
only
been a
song,
long day.
The only song that you're going to play is Happy Birthday. And it's going to be okay.
Mary Had a Little Lamb?
Or Mary Had a Little Lamb. It's whatever, you know, you only learned one song on the recorder. Like you're not going to remember anything. Whatever it is that you learn, that'll be it. So Happy Birthday.
The scale. Mary,
exactly.
I'll do the scale repeatedly.
Oh my God. Wow.
Oh, well, now I'm going to have to do something like this.
Yeah. Look, I'm telling you.
All right.
Yeah.
I know.
If you put the chicken suit on, you're going to get the like, comment, and the share. Okay? And I might even share it more than once.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
I'm supportive. I'm going to support you 100% on this.
Yeah. You'll hit repost several times. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
100%.
All right. Well, you recorded.
It's a guarantee. No, it's a guarantee. This is for sure.
All right, I'll have to figure this out. Mm-hmm. All right, so my task tomorrow is to find a recorder and or a fiddle.
Yeah, because you already have the chicken suit. So it's, yeah, you're halfway there.
I did a tour of the farm in my chicken suit. I did. I went from every single pasture with every single species to do a farm tour of us in my chicken suit.
Wow. So, you know, there's that guy
on our YouTube channel.
There's a guy, totally. There's, yeah, absolutely. So there's that guy who gets in the alligator outfit and hangs out with the alligator.
I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah. You can look it up. And,
okay.
It's basic and it's not even like, it's kind of a crappy, costume. You know, like, yeah. It's kind of not good. And, but it's legit. Like he puts it on, he gets on the floor. And they kind of accept him for what he is. And he gets like real close. He touches them and they don't move. But the minute that he goes there as himself, as a human, they're gone. They're out. They split, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, let's implement, not with the alligators, but let's implement like the chicken suit or the cow suit. And I'm talking like the Abbott and Costello style. You know what I mean? Where, you know, you have two people to make the horse.
Yeah, no, see, that's a guy thing. You're totally tangenting into the male realm. Whole Albert Costello and Three Stooges stuff.
Well, it's when they get into the suit, you know, like somebody's the front and somebody's the back.
No.
And you go and you walk into the...
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. But I'm trying to think of how I can do it. I have to go get the cow. No, I know. I have to go get the cow suit.
Yeah.
I didn't get a cow suit.
How cool would that be?
It would be kind of nifty, but I don't want to be on the back end of it because when those cows start jumping, I want to be able to see where I'm jumping.
You're like, where's the ATV? You know, how
I want to be in the ATV instantaneously.
But how freaked out would the cows be if you were in the cow suit on the ATV?
I don't know that they would. That would be very interesting.
That's got to be.
Well,
like,
I mean, I guess I could always test it with the chicken suit.
Would they even know what that is? Like, are they going to know?
I don't know. I think they just see that two-legged animal and be like, "Ooh, what's that?"
You got to get. You got to get a cow suit. How they make them, where there's you don't need two people.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. But are you going to be the butt?
It's like you put it on and it's just part of your torso and you only have like the front legs and your back legs are you actually walk on it. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, like the foamy thing so that if it gets run over and charged by the cow, I will only lose my back half.
Right, but it'll still be like you, just you in the suit and you're walking.
Okay.
But in front of you, like you have the headpiece on, but in front of you is like the rest of it somehow. Or it would be actually behind you.
In back of me for the cow one, yeah.
Correct, yeah, yeah. Because then you can actually get on the ATV. You can actually get on the ATV and ride that sucker.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? You're picking up what I'm putting down
here? All right, I do. I am. I'm visualizing where I might have to look for one of those.
The audience needs this. And you know what? Forget them. I need this. Mm-hmm. This is for me.
Yeah, I know.
This is for me.
Hashtag all me in 23.
Correct. Yes.
That's my whole mantra for 2023.
All me in 23.
It's all about me in 2023.
Wow. All right. I can dig it, man. I can dig it.
Yeah. Because last year it was all you in 22. And this year it's all me in 23.
And then next year is going to be, there's more in
24. Oh, I'm going to carry over the all me concept.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to milk this as long as I can.
You're gonna like, and here we go with the puns, right? With the milk and
yeah,
I get it.
Hey, dairy is on my to-do list.
True story. All right,
dairy is on my list.
Okay, so, as you know,
we went full circle in our walk, didn't we?
I think it was a good day today. It was a good one. It's a real good one.
Excellent.
We hit the threshold. All right, so it's an hour and 7 minutes and 12 seconds into this wonderful podcast. And so thank you, Mrs. Nicole Cruz from Circle
thank
C
you.
Farms. Yes.
You're welcome, Mr. Carl.
Thank you. Let Manny know I said thanks for letting me snatch you up for an hour and 7 minutes. And
no problem.
We're going to be back again next week. We'll find something interesting to talk about. And until then, we are out. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing. Deliver healthy taste options to clientele and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.